Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 17, The Divisions of Faith. And today we'll be reading from text number 25. Please repeat. Tat. Yeah, can we all find it? Yes.
We have more details. We have many more, actually.
Iti anabhisandhaya phalam yagya tapaha kriyaha dhana kriyaha cha vividaha kriyante mokshakankshibhi tat ityana bisandhaya phalang yagya tapa kriya dhana kriyascha vividha kriyante mokshakankshibhi Tatityanabhisandhaya Phalang yagya tapakriya Dhana kriyascha vividha Kriyante moksha kankshibhi Tatityanabhisandhaya Phalang yagya tapa kriya Dana kriyascha vividha Kriyante moksha kankshibhi Please repeat. Tad ityana abhisandhaya Phalam yagya tapa kriya Dana kriyascha vividha Kriyante moksha kankshibhi Anybody else? Yeah, you can. Yeah, go ahead. Thank you. Oh, yeah, you can keep it. Yes, yes, it brings about auspiciousness, and it's like, I mean, you're from the United States, no?
Originally, yes.
It's like an Hawaii.
Okay.
Like that. Only the only difference is this used to be on God's body, or one of his associates. I'm not sure which one. Right, no, it's a sign of honor, actually, yeah. Would you like to chant?
I've had problems with this one today. Last night is okay.
Right, it's so true.
I don't want to butcher the language.
Okay, so you can just chant responsibly with us. Would you like to try it?
Yeah, try what?
Read it. Well, kind of chant it.
The verse 25. Right?
Yeah. Just give it a go. No, that is 26.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Tat iti anabhisandhaya.
Palam.
Yeah, just read the whole sentence, please.
Okay, sure.
Yes.
Palam.
Phalang yagya tapa kriya
dana kriya
Danas kriyacha vivida.
Kriyante moksha kakshivi.
Kriyante moksha kakshivi. Thank you. Would you like to try? Any ladies? Oh, yeah, go ahead. Good, good, good. Tad idyana bisandhaya. Phalam yagya tapakriya. Dana kriyascha vivida. Kriyante moksha kankshibhi. Just a side note, moksha means liberation. Maybe you've heard of this. Moksha. You know, you're from India, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So it's a big word, moksha. Anyway, go on. Tat ityana bisanjaya. Palam yagya tapakriya. Dana kriyascha vivida. Kriyante moksha kankshivi. Yes, that's very good. Would you also like to try? Can you read? Can she read?
No.
Not yet. Okay. But she's enjoying herself. You like Bhagavad Gita? Okay, thank you. Would you like to try? Tad ityana bisandhaya.
Phalam yagya tapakriya.
Phalam yagya tapakriya.
Dana kriyascha vivida.
Dana kriyascha vivida.
Kriyante moksha kankshibhi.
Very good. Kankshibhi. Thank you. Okay. Oh, would you also like to chant? Thank you. Tat ityana visanjaya. Phalam yagya tapakriya. Dana kriyascha vivida. Kriyante moksha kankshivi. Okay, just a side note, because I can see you're all really into this chanting. It's called Bhagavad Gita. You know what Gita means, right? What does it mean? No, the word Gita. No, you said it, no? What did she say? It means song. Song. You said that, right? No? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it means song. So we're this is what we're doing now. We're singing it, you see? It actually means the song of God. Bhagavan means God. Actually, technically, it means one who possesses all opulences. Prabhupada many times makes the point, this is not called Krishna Gita. It's called Bhagavan or Bhagavad Gita. Because, you know, it's spoken by Lord Krishna. Still, in the Sanskrit, we don't see Krishna Uvacha. Uvacha means speaking. It says Bhagavan Uvacha. Because we explained yesterday that this book, it becomes a little bit useless if we think that it's spoken by a person. And if we understand, or at least if we accept, that it's spoken by God, then it becomes different. Because then we accept that this is the truth. Like I'm from Holland, so many people, they have an opinion. So we have to accept God's so-called opinion. This is the truth. So if we think it's another opinion, then the book kind of becomes useless. Anyway, but that's about Bhagavan. Bhagavan means one who possesses all opulences. All riches, all fame, all strength, all beauty. Renunciation and strength. Oh, fame. Yeah, fame. All fame. So many people, they have some of these qualities, like, I don't know, Obama or something. He's very famous, he's very powerful. I'm sure he has a lot of money. But he doesn't have all the money. He doesn't have all the power. And, you know, with all due respect, he's maybe not the most beautiful guy in the world. I mean, he's not ugly, but he's not like, I don't know, Brad Pitt or something, or, you know, some model. You know, so, but Krishna has all of these things. He's very, very beautiful. He's the most rich. He's the most famous. He appeared 5,000 years ago, so everybody knows about him. And he's very renounced. Because, you know, I'm sure Barack Obama, he was elected for the second term, right? Yeah. So he's attached. He wants to get elected another time. He's not like, okay, 4 years was enough for me. I'm just packing it up. No, he's attached. I want to, you know, 4 more years. Anyway, maybe that's not a good example, but I'm sure he's attached to so many things. And Krishna, he can actually just renounce things very, very easily. I don't want to get into that now because we're going to get too much distracted. What I just wanted to point out, because I saw you were all into the chanting, is that it's actually, if you look, it's Sanskrit. You see, it's called Devanagari. So it's actually 2 lines. It's not 4 lines. If you see, Prahlada Maharaj, he taught me this. So you have this Kriyaha, that is a long H, it's Kriyaha. So he explained to me when that same H with a dot underneath, it's in the so-called third line, or you could say in the middle of the second line, then you don't pronounce it. So then it becomes Dana Kriyascha Vividha. Because you'll notice, especially with the verse of yesterday, and I didn't want to point it out yesterday, but I thought I'll point it out now because there's more advanced devotees here and they should actually know this. That so in the third line you don't pronounce it, you only pronounce it in at the end of the so-called second line, or you could say at the end of the first line. In Devanagari it's the first line. And you pronounce it at the end of the fourth line, or as you like, the second line. I hope I'm not confusing you. Because in that Gita, it's printed in 4 lines, the Roman transliteration. I think in that one also, no? Or not? That's 2 lines. Yeah, that's just to save space. These are so-called Sankirtan prints. They were printed to distribute a lot of them. But like you also, I think you have a bigger one. Right. Yeah, so on that one, the lines are printed as they're supposed to be in 4 lines. That's the kind of scholarly way of doing it. And in that, the Roman, it's printed in 4, but you can see the commas. Yeah, it's just to save space. So they have less pages so they can print it cheaper. That's the reason why they did that. Because they were just printed for mass distribution. Anyway, but I just wanted to point it out, just so you know. Okay, so now we'll get into the word for word. Please repeat. Tat, that. Iti, thus. Anabhisandhaya, without desiring. Phalam, the fruit of result. Yagya, of sacrifice. Tapaha, and penance. Kriyaha, activities. Dhana, of charity. Kriyaha, activities. Cha, also. Vividaha, various. Kriyante, are done. Moksha kangshibihi, by those who actually desire liberation. Translation. Without desiring fruit results, one should perform various kinds of sacrifice, penance and charity with the word tat. The purpose of such transcendental activities is to get free from material entanglement. Purport. To be elevated to the spiritual position, one should not act for any material gain. Acts should be performed for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the spiritual kingdom, back to home, back to Godhead. So, if you like, you can now go to page 1. It's called Introduction, And then you know what I'll be reciting in the next few minutes. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militangena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitangena Bhutale Sayang Rupa Kadamayang Dadati Swaparantikam Vandehang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupang Sagrajatam Sagana Raganatang Vitang Tang Sajivang Sadvaitang Savadutang Parijana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devang Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakang Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Vanshakalpa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Sriman Rasa Rasa Rambi Vangsivata Tastitaha Karshan Venusvanar Gopir Gopinata Sriyesunaha Srisila Gopinath, originated the transcendental mellow of the Rasa dance, stands on the shore in Vangsivat and attracts the attention of the coward damsels with the sound of a celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. Hari Om Tat Sat. Yes, it says here the word Tat. Actually, I'm saying this sometimes. Hari Om Tat Sat. My Guru Maharaj Jayapataka Swami, he also does this. And it's explained here in this part, actually, of Bhagavad Gita. It says the word Tat. 25. Yeah. Yeah, it's the word Tat. Yeah, these mantras I was chanting, they are called invocation mantras. It's to invoke auspiciousness. So, like that last verse, it's called the Prayojan Adideva Pranam. And that is a specific pranam mantra, a specific mantra to honor Gopinath. Because this temple is called the Radha Gopinath temple or Radhadesh Dham. And the temple, the presiding deities are called Radha Gopinath. So that specific verse I just read at the end, that is to honor Gopinath. And to ask... No, it's not there. It's in the songbook. It's in the songbook. Sorry about that, but it's just exclusively for this temple that I do that, you know, because it's a prayer to invoke their blessings, actually. Yeah. And then you say, you know, Hari Om Tat Sat, so that word Tat is explained here. And this is also a sacrifice, it's called Sankirtan Yagya. Yagya means sacrifice. Yagya also means Vishnu. It's like a... Well, it's not like, it's the fire, the sacrificial fire. And this is called the mouth of Lord Vishnu. Many so-called Hindus, they say, I want to do a yagya. They have so many yagyas. You know, a yagya for the housewarming yagya, a yagya when the child is born. So Prabhupada explains this is all not so much necessary. There is just one important yagya, and that is Sankirtan Yagya. Kirtan means to glorify. It's almost the same word. And san means same or together. Like, in Holland you have that word, samen. Samen. Samen means, you're from Holland? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like that. So sankirtan means to glorify Lord Krishna together, like we're doing right now. I'm reading and you're listening. So we're together doing this. Hare Krishna, welcome. And later, at 8:15, we will be chanting this mantra, Hare Krishna. I will just show you. It's a very important mantra. This is called, it's called the Maha Mantra. It means the great mantra. Mantra means man, it's mind, and tra means to deliver. So a mantra is actually to deliver the mind. And this is the Maha Mantra, or as Prabhupada calls it, the great chant of deliverance. It will deliver our mind to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. This mantra, it actually means, O energy of the Lord, Radharani, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all-attractive Krishna, source of all pleasure, Lord Ram, please engage me in your devotional service. That's what it means. So we're asking God to engage ourselves in his service. So that is a yajna, to chant that mantra. It's called Sankirtan Yajna, and that is the main yajna for this age. It is said, Kalaur Dhausha Nidhi. This age is called Kali Yuga, and it's referred to as the age of quarrel, or the age of iron. Prabhupada sometimes calls it the age of bluff, because there's so many bluffers. I don't want to call any names now, but there's so many so-called spiritual persons, and they're not really spiritual. And the worst is when they start taking Bhagavad Gita and make interpretation. Like, sometimes they say that, because I explained yesterday, this Bhagavad Gita is spoken on the battlefield 5,000 years ago. And sometimes people, they say, you know, Guru Kshetra is the body, and, you know, I don't know what, because I've never really read it, but they make all this kind of interpretation. And Prabhupada says, there's no need. Interpretation is good if things are unclear. But if things are clear, you know, it's spoken in this Gita, that it's spoken in Guru Kshetra. There's a train station in India, I've been there. There's a place called Guru Kshetra. Everybody in India, you're from India?
Yeah.
They know the big war was there in Guru Kshetra, right? We even have a temple there, ISKCON Temple, because it's Guru Kshetra. So we wanted to make a temple there because it's Bhagavad Gita, you know? So, but there, you don't need to make interpretation that, you know, Guru Kshetra is the body or this and that. No, it's a real place in India. And it was actually a world war. Because in those days, it's called Hastinapur. Hastina means elephant, and Pur means city. So in those days, and it is part of Delhi. We all know Delhi, right? You know Delhi, right? Heli Delhi, they say now. So that Hastinapur is part of Delhi. And that Hastinapur, that used to be the capital of the world. And it was called Hastina because there were so many elephants. And it's very expensive to maintain an elephant because they eat a lot. And you have to maintain them, you have to clean them. It takes like a whole army to take care of one elephant. And this city had hundreds and thousands of elephants. That's why it was called Hastinapur. And the whole world was ruled from that city. It's not so well known in the, you know, normal so-called history. But it's a fact that so-called normal history kind of stops at 5,000 year. I mean, after that is when the written history stops. That there's basically no scripture that is older than 5,000 years. And there's a reason for that. Because 5,000 years, this Kali Yuga, it started. And before that, it was called Dwapara Yuga. And people's memory was much better. Like, there is a story. I've never really checked it, but somebody told me this. It's a famous story about an Egyptian king. And somebody came to his court and he said, I have a great invention to you by which you can remember everything. And this great invention was the scripture. And the king saw it and he says, you're not going to remember everything with this. You're going to forget everything. And in one sense, it's true. You become lazy. That is actually why we are reciting these verses in the beginning, so we can remember them. But if you write it down, like people say, let me write it down so I don't forget. But what they also do, and we all do it, you write it down so you don't have to think about it. Right? You can put it out of your head. Like, you have somebody's phone number, like, you know, like you love somebody, you know, some girl or some, you know, boy. And he gives you his or her phone number, so you remember it, you know, until you write it down. And once you've written it down, then finished. So actually, this Kali Yuga, It is a very forgetful age. It's a quarrelsome age. It's a chaotic age. It's the age of iron. In, you know, the Dwapara Yuga, people wore lots of gold. That's actually one of the reasons why we wear this tilak, is to purify the body, because gold actually purifies the body. So people used to wear all kinds of gold, you know, because it was very largely available. They would even eat from golden plates, and then they would just throw them away after eating once. But this is the story that I heard. Anyway, the point is that it was a different age, and this Bhagavad Gita was spoken on the pivot of the, you know, age. Like now it's spring, just before it was, you know, like winter. So it's like a change. So this Bhagavad Gita was spoken just at the beginning of Kali Yuga. And so that is said in the Bhagavatam, that Kaler Dhosha Nidhi, that this Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. Dosha means fault, and Nidhi means ocean. Kaler Dhosha Nidhi. So, but they say Mahat Gunan, there is one Maha Guna, Maha quality, good quality, and that is Sangratan Yajna. That we have this Sangratan Yajna. So that is the main thing for this age. And you can also see it in the churches. People are chanting together. It's very nice. Also the Muslims that do it. So this is all very good. Of course, I also tried to explain yesterday, they don't have so much information about who God actually is. We're not having anything against Muslims or Christians. It's just that we're saying that if you really want to love God or Allah or, you know, whatever you want to call him, you have to know him. And if you don't really know him, then how can you really love him? So we have inside information who God is. So not only did he appear 5,000 years ago in India, but he also at the same time is in the spiritual world outside of this material universe. This material universe, let's see how it's explained, it's actually finite. It's like an egg. And there's different layers. We talked about it yesterday, actually. Maybe I can explain it now, just to tie in the class of yesterday. There's different layers: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego. And our body also exists of these eight elements. And outside of this universe, there's a spiritual world. So it's kind of like a prison house. And every layer is 10 times bigger than the previous layer. So it's almost impossible to get out. That's why it's called Durga. Dur means difficult, and Ga means go. Very difficult to go, to get out. This is another meaning of Durga. Because she is, you know Durga, of course. But she is actually also sometimes referred to as Maya. And she keeps the jiva, the soul, because that's who we really are. We are the Atmas. Soul is sitting in the heart, it goes from one body to the next. And she keeps the soul here, either by covering them or by punishing them. So that's why another meaning of her name is Durga, very difficult to come out. Anyway, so here it is said that we should not desire for fruitive results, phala. Phala means fruit. It says, anabhisandhaya, without desiring phalam. One should perform various kinds of sacrifice, penance, and charity with the word tat. So, that is here explained. Let me see. Tat means death. Tat iti anabhisandhaya. So, and that, like we said, is Hari Om Tat Sat. So that is, there are names of God. Sat, that I explained yesterday, it means eternal. And Hari is a name of Krishna. It means one who takes away actually the material desires, or in this case, the fruitive desires, the desire to enjoy the fruits. The purpose of such transcendental activities is to get free from material entanglement. So this is the, you could say, the meaning of life. Well, the meaning of life is actually to love God and to serve him and to realize ourselves. Like, you know, it's generally known as self-realization. So we have to actually know who we really are. And who we really are is an eternal servant of Krishna. So Prabhupada explains here, to be elevated to the spiritual position, one should not act for any material gain. act should be performed for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the spiritual kingdom, back to home, back to Godhead. So it is very simple and it is very profound. And it is, well, we see actually, also if I look at my own life, that it's very difficult to do, you know, that we should not act for any material gain. So that means that we act for Krishna. That is actually what it means. That I tried to explain that yesterday also. That you just find something that you like to do for Krishna. It's that simple. Of course, what happens is that we kind of mix it. That we want to have a little money, we want to have this and that, you know. So that ultimately needs to be given up. Those desires, those tendencies. It says here, tat iti anabhisandhya phalam, without desiring fruit of results. And then one should do yagya, tapa, and dhan. So sacrifice, tapa means penance, and dhan means to give in charity. Kriya means, it's like the word karma. You must have heard of this word karma. So kriya is from the same root. Karma also means actually action. Action, reaction. So this is also kriyaha, it means activities. It's the same root word. And then we get moksha. Actually desire liberation. Moksha kankshibi. Kanksha means desiring. And moksha means liberation. So liberation means liberation means to be liberated from illusion, from misconception. Like, sometimes people say it's all in the mind. And in one sense, that is true. Because sometimes people say you cannot change things, but you can change how you look at it. Right? You must have heard this, no? So that is really what this Krishna consciousness movement is about. We're trying to... we're not even actually trying to change your consciousness. We're trying to reinstate your consciousness. Prabhupada says this Hare Krishna mantra is not an artificial imposition of the mind. It's not artificial. It is real. It is who we really are. The soul comes from the spiritual world. That I explained yesterday, and it is covered by these eight layers. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence. So, and when we uncover it by basically hearing from Lord Krishna and trying to understand this knowledge, that we are not this body, that we are a spirit soul, and then gradually, the more we start chanting and the more we serve Krishna, the more we become purified. And then we can actually realize who we actually were in the spiritual world, because we had a spiritual body. That is a fear that we have, that we think that, oh, if I become spiritual, then I lose my personality. So it is actually not possible. We discussed it a little bit yesterday. It's called a spiritual suicide. So there is an option there. Krishna gives that option. If you want, you can spiritually kill yourself, like, you know, becoming part of this so-called spiritual light. But that light is explained, it emanates from Krishna's body. And there is a spiritual world with all kinds of planets. And the main planet, it's called Krishna Loka. And that is where Lord Krishna resides. And there is unlimited number of devotees. And everything there is conscious. The grass is super conscious. And so the people there, the persons there, they have spiritual bodies. So that is actually where we should go. And if we can just, because here it says being transferred to the spiritual kingdom, and we need to be transferred, but we can be transferred right now. It is actually possible. If you realize who you really are, then you can actually experience that right now. You don't have to wait. So it is possible to be in this so-called material body and experience who you are and what is your relationship with Krishna, and that the spiritual world can reveal itself to you. Because, you know, technically speaking, we are in the spiritual world. It's explained like a cloud. material world is like a cloud inside the spiritual world. So it's just a matter of realizing it. It's like waking up, actually. Like you were in a dream, you're chased by a tiger, and you're sweating, and you wake up and you're thinking, oh, it was just a dream. So that is what this is. It's a dream. It's kind of real, but it's temporary. So therefore, it's not really considered real. It's like a Fata Morgana. It's there, and then it's not there. It's called flickering, chapala. So, but the Fata Morgana is there because there is actually a oasis. It's there. But because of the heat, you get a reflection. So that is what this is, kind of like a reflection of the spiritual world. So anyway, we have to stop there because now we're going to chant. So I'll make it a little bit clear. And again, like I said, the main yajna for this age is this Sankirtan yajna, which is what we'll be doing right now. If you like, you can chant or you can just, you know, stay with us. It doesn't matter. It's like a big fire, actually. And it doesn't matter. If the closer you get to it, the more you get purified, the more you get the benefit. But it doesn't matter. Fire is warm. So you can stay a little bit from the side. But the main thing is that you stay near the fire. Then everything will come gradually. So this Sankirtan Yajna is like a spiritual fire. It's just this chanting together. And that is the Yajna. So I hope I explained it. Right, so now we have to stop. Thank you so much for listening. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.